What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 245 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Give me my BB.
Yeah, we will. We will. There it is on the table. It's horrifying. We got FM3 himself, Fran Mirabella III, the best hair in the business.
What's up, everybody?
How you doing?
Excited to be here.
Yeah?
Going to be a fun episode.
Yeah?
You missed a few buttons on your shirt.
Oh, yeah. You want me to take it down more?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great response. We have the former informer, Imran Khan.
Howdy. I was up very late last night playing a video game.
Hell yeah,
you were. Death Stranding.
Oh, yeah. Death Stranding. I was playing Death Stranding.
And Andy Cortez, the number one video games journalist.
Only one who dressed up, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this goes live on November 1st. It doesn't make sense to be in a costume on November 1st.
I'm
probably one of our biggest games casts of ever. You look like a fool.
The thing is, though,
tuned in for the first time and they're like, "What is going on? Who is this man?"
It's because it's Thanksgiving and I'm thankful for
Tony Stark.
That's great.
And then running the show over there, we have Kevin Coelho, who will also be chiming in here and there on this episode.
Put yourself on.
Kev.
So I can't be the only one.
They need
in costume.
To know what your voice sounds like.
Well, maybe you know what your voice sounds like.
Maybe. I don't want to be the only one.
He's dropping the green screen.
We're kind of funny. We have fun here.
This is the Kind of Funny Games Cast each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We get together to talk about video games, all the things that we love about them. You can get the show live by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You also get an exclusive pre and post show. Or you can just wait and get the show for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames on Mondays or roosterteeth.com. Or you can search for this as a podcast on your favorite podcast service. Just look for Kinda Funny Games Cast. Shout out to our Patreon producers, Angel Gutierrez and James Hastings, for helping make this show happen. And also shout out to Felix Gray and Mint Mobile, but we'll talk more about those later. For now, I just want to get into it. Death Stranding, the review. This Games Cast is going to be a little bit different than normal. Normally, we kind of talk about a whole bunch of different games, a whole bunch of different things. This is our Death Stranding review, the whole episode, Death Stranding, all the time. Strands can mean many different things, and we'll talk about all of them here today.
No spoiler strands, though, right?
So that's the thing. First off, the game has been provided to us by PlayStation. Thank you, PlayStation, for sending it to us. All of us have been playing for a review.
Yeah.
Yes. But Greg, what's the spoiler situation here?
Well, the spoiler situation here is that this will be a spoiler-free review. And I say that, and I do this for the most part. Like, what is your definition of a spoiler? We aren't spoiling any major story beats. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the embargo we have and everybody else has with PlayStation, right, is like, you're not supposed to show footage beyond Chapter 3. We're showing no footage, of course. But, like, we're not going to go into what the end game is. We're going to talk about, obviously, if we liked certain aspects of it, certain things we didn't like on that front, but not be, like, on the nose about this is who this is.
Absolutely. We're going to pretty much cover everything that the review embargo lets us, and the review embargo is designed in a way to not spoil things.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I'd say if you're, like, super scared of spoilers, like, we'll talk gameplay mechanics probably and how they evolve, and in this game, that maybe is a spoiler, but not really.
Now that I'm in a safe spot and the embargo's up, right, what I'll say is the trailer Kojima put out on Wednesday is way more spoiler than we're even allowed to be. You have to imagine, whoever wrote the embargo guide for this game saw the trailer and was like, motherfucker, really? Like, there's things in there, I think, that are awesome reveals for this game, and it was just like,
Greg,
that's how that is.
I played this game for over 40 hours, and I kid you not, I'm not watching the trailer because it's like 7 or 8 minutes long. I'm afraid of spoilers still at this point.
There were parts of that trailer that I hit yesterday.
Yeah.
It's several minutes long. The trailer's several
8 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, it's a general 8 to 9 minute Kojima trailer.
Yeah.
I guess something else came out on the internet recently that was only like maybe 30 or 40 seconds.
That's the PlayStation little teaser.
Okay, quick
Instagram
social
and
tease
stuff
for the launch show.
Gotcha. So going around the table, how long has everyone played this game, and where and how far have they got?
I'm going to be so different.
Yeah. It's a good point of contact, too.
Yeah, Andy's insane here. So, well, I'll start.
Okay.
I played for about 5 hours, made it into Chapter 2. Working my way through, and I ended up stopping playing because I didn't love it. Wasn't my favorite
thing.
It's
not a team game.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's what it is, and it is an art game, and it is definitely one of those things where it's going to grab people or it's going to turn them off. I wanted to get grabbed. There were moments that I was like really looking forward to, and it did not grab me.
Grabbler.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, then Kev over there.
I'm in a similar position where I only played about 5 hours. I actually loved it. Really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because it was the sort of repetition that was like I found incredibly satisfying. I know it's not a game for everyone, I stopped because I started working on this costume. So I do plan to jump back in like fully tomorrow.
Okay. For the record, anybody watching, yeah, Kev, Kev, do you want to tell them what you are? Because without the headpiece, I don't know if it plays as much.
I'm Loki.
Here we go. He's got the headpiece. There you go.
It is Halloween, even though you're watching this on November.
Yeah. So, Fred, how far are you and how long have you played?
Yeah, I'm about 45 hours in. I'd actually say I played almost like 50. You know, I think some of the things it doesn't count. And then from what I understand, I'm like maybe a little over halfway through it.
What chapter are you?
Chapter 5 or 6. Okay. I forget. Probably 6. Yeah, I don't know. Should we say how many chapters it is?
I don't mind. Well, I don't think it's embargoed. Is it the trophy list or anything like that?
No, it's not embargoed.
Does it really matter? Because they're all so...
They're ridiculous anyway. I mean, there's 14 chapter trophies.
There you go.
So that's like the way I was gauging my progress as I went through.
It's not all even. So anyway, I'm going to guess I'm like a little over halfway based on what I played, but I honestly don't know. That's where this discussion will get interesting, but 45 hours for me.
I feel like I'm getting close to being done with chapter 3.
Okay.
And I'm about 38 hours in.
God.
Just keep, yeah, this is where it gets interesting.
I'm so jealous of you guys. So jealous of you.
Why?
Oh, we're going to save it.
I finished the game last night at 47 hours and 59 minutes.
Yeah. That's round up, man. I beat the game last night at 37 hours.
Yeah.
Because with the embargo coming, you guys are playing the game the way I want to play the game, the way I think everybody should play the game in terms of go out and do it, right? Because you're going out and you have the main quest. This is what's going to progress the story. It's very clear. There's a star next to it and a wavy line through it to signify it.
Golden strand.
Yeah. And so, but my first 9 hours, I was totally like, all right, cool, main quest, I'm accepting. And then, oh, okay, well, there's 3 other things to do. I'm going to go do all of these on the map. And then it was like, oh, man, took a stretch. I'm like, where am I? Oh, I'm in chapter 3 or whatever. Looked at the time, like, I'm 9 hours... Oh no! Yeah. Like, and I looked at like the clock
the
countdown
math will
until
not add up here.
And I did the math. I was up till 4 a.m. last night, but I'm really surprised I did it because it dropped for me when we were on the Star Wars trip, and then we went to EJLX, and then I took a vacation to see my in-laws. So it was like, I did not have the normal way I wanted to play this game.
So for me, I kind of rushed it as well.
Yeah,
but I started rushing it because I wasn't enjoying it.
Ooh, really?
That like as I started playing, I'm like, I kind of just want to get done with this game. And it took so, like, I
said. What chapters do you think that kicked in?
Chapter 3.
Wow, okay.
That was where I was like, this is not moving forward fast enough. I just want to keep going and see. I want to see where this story goes, but I don't want to play any more of it. So there was still, God, that was maybe like 15 hours.
That was a lifetime ago.
Yeah. And then, like, I took breaks because I, like, if I was enjoying the game, I would have just kept playing, but I was like, I'm not really enjoying this. I want to go do something else. I had Outer Worlds to finish and After Party and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I played those games. I enjoyed them more. And I came back to this. I'm like, oh, this game. It just kind of went through. Yeah. And people have a tendency to get very mad at me because I'm negative on this podcast.
Have your own opinion. It shouldn't
for
matter.
The record, no. People tend to get mad at everyone on the internet for having an opinion. Good, bad, or otherwise.
So I love that you're going to have a different take.
I, at the end of the day, if I had to say whether I like this game or not, I would probably veer towards I did not like it. And we'll get into the reasons why.
And I'll tell you right now, I'm so excited for this discussion because we have not discussed it.
Yeah.
And I am so excited for tonight when this publishes. Because I want to read everyone's review.
Yeah.
Because this game is going to be
polarizing.
All over the map, I feel.
Think pieces left and right.
We've had those discussions here in the office of, hey, are you still playing? What are you, like, how do you feel? And like, they're mostly discussions of bafflement. Of like, oh, I just did this thing, or like, hey, I don't really know how I think about it quite yet, and like, we haven't really talked about whether or not we like it in this office for since then.
Yeah, so I don't know how you want to do this, Tim, but I feel like the first question is, but you tell me, is like, what is Death Stranding?
So that's the thing is, I have a lot of listeners wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so I do have some top level questions like that I think are going to be good conversation starters here. Matthew from the Isle of Man says, good day to you all. I have a burning question about Death Stranding. What the fuck is it?
That's the hot question.
What is the Death Stranding or what is the game?
We'd love to tell you.
What's the game?
The game is that you are.
What do you do?
You're a delivery man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like in my conversations I've had with other people who are in the game and other reviewers, right? Or even people who are in the industry who have talked to other reviewers, it's been this conversation of like, yeah, here, you know, really picks, it gets good or picks up after 8 hours. And I'm immediately like, if you don't like the first 8 hours of this game, you are not going to like this game. Because this game does not, at any point, turn the corner and become Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. This game is, you are Norman Reedus. You know what I mean?
You are
you are Sam Porter Bridges. You are out to connect America via the Chiral Network. You are working your way across by running jobs and delivering things to different people, which makes the gameplay about how am I going to get from point A to point B, which literally you open up your map, and I did it every time for my missions at least.
Constantly.
Open up the map where and draw my own lines and like look at the terrain and figure out the easiest way. All right, I'm going to go through a mountain, so I better get a climbing rope. I better bring a ladder. You know, eventually you unlock different power or leg armor and stuff like that that helps you walk on different terrain or run faster, this kind of thing. So it was like, how am I? What do I need? It was very much picking your loadout, but not picking your loadout necessarily for combat. There is combat. There is engaging with enemies, but it really is about the combat of the terrain. It is about traversal.
Yeah. You literally, it's this amazing landscape experience that is built on the Decima engine, the Horizon Zero Dawn engine.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing at that. The smell of the game, as I have talked about in the past. Red Dead Redemption 2 is the first one I pulled that out on. But it has this like incredible world that is in front of you. And so when you start the game, you're like, huh, it's like this like bleak moonscape, whatever. I've seen it in the trailer. It's like
post-apocalyptic Earth, yeah. Right?
And you literally, they're like, hey, here's a couple steel cases. Put them on your back and go over there. You're like, okay. And you put them on your back and you're like, fine. And then you're like, whoa. And you like lose your balance. And you're like, wait, I hit the L and R triggers to balance myself? Like, okay. And then you go out onto this terrain and you literally just walk. Your stamina is going up and down. And you, like, it starts raining and you realize that affects you. And then
that
you
literally your packages,
walk and walk and walk and try to keep your balance. And then there are things that expand on how you do this.
Of course.
And that's where the game progresses, but it is long. And before, you know, I go deeper into that stuff, I would say if you want to play this game, who said it was an art game? Was it you or?
Tim did. But I mean, definitely that's at the top of my list of talking about what this game is.
It's like shackles off. Kojima didn't have to answer to anyone really and was like, I just, you know, him and the team are like, I want to do something weird. And man, is it weird. But you, like maybe a good book or good movie, you can't do part of it. I would say you need to play this game for like 50 hours before, in my personal opinion, if you really want to judge it. I wouldn't judge it based on the first 5 hours because it is a slog intentionally. So I don't know how you
guys feel about that. That's the thing, though. Like, when video games do the intentional slog, the intentional bullshit kind of thing, I don't know that it excuses it for being a slog bullshit.
Depends on the player. Because the reward for weight.
I'm out.
Right. And that's, like that's my point.
The beginning is a slog, and all the things that I thought were cool, the story elements, because they pretty quickly, I would say like towards the end of chapter one, beginning of chapter two, they introduce all of the America stuff and like the
stuff
status
we've seen
quo.
From trailers,
a lot of stuff in the trailers, and it's just like I was pleasantly surprised how quickly we got to see all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, cool, let's go. But then it's just like the balancing and stuff. It's like there's a lot of people saying, yeah, but is the game fun? You know,
no,
I don't think games need to be fun necessarily, but I feel like if they're not going to be fun, they need to.
It needs
like,
to not be 50 hours.
It needs to make sense a bit. And I pretty quickly could tell this game's not going to make sense story wise. And from talking to people, that sounds like the case.
It makes all right sense. Like, it's Kojima bullshit. It's anime, honestly. Like, it.
It's very Japanese, right? And I think in terms of how they present things, how characters give you exposition. I mean, granted, that's Kojima, and Kojima is Japanese, so it all makes sense. But it is that thing of, it's this weird juxtaposition of all these American actors, American faces, people we know, right, that you'd expect to see in a movie or do whatever, performing, a live-action anime that isn't live-action, but you understand what I mean.
It's not a movie. It's a Netflix TV show where at the end of every episode, somebody has their own little arc where they exposit their backstory to you, and then it ends. And then
the episodes
really
are like, most episodes are titled the character it's about, right? Yeah. So it is about Dead Man. It is about, you know, whoever you're going through.
That said, one of the things I really think is I'm very positive about this game on is, holy shit, the acting is great.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like,
Mads Mikkelsen.
Overall.
Yeah. Mads fucking Mikkelsen. Awesome. Are you kidding me, dude?
Who's the guy who plays Die Hard Man? Tommy Earl
Jenkins.
He's not like a movie star. He does, like, I think, TV, really. He's
fantastic.
Yeah, of the stars in this game, he is not the biggest one. He is, I think, the best actor in this entire game.
His performance, really, yeah, throughout this.
He's so
thing.
Consistent.
And like when we do his chapter and the way his thing ends.
He's again, constantly giving you directives. He's that guy.
Yeah. Again, I haven't even finished chapter 3. But I'm at the point where I don't care about any of these characters yet. I don't know much about them. I haven't latched on to anybody. There hasn't been anybody to pop down. I'm like, I love interacting with this person because they're fun or their lines are quippy. They got some, like, there's none of that really for me yet.
They don't do a good job of that because they like
right.
It's the difference between like a codec call and I guess whatever the hologram thing they have in there.
Right.
I don't get a sense of anybody's personality or like latch onto their design or anything until they actually have their own chapter.
And that's the interesting thing about it, where I do envy you guys having, or the way you're playing it, because it's the way I would have wanted to play it without a deadline or an embargo. I feel, though, the way I did it did ingratiate these characters with me. Certain ones, obviously, where I was like, I like Deadman a lot.
Some are better written than others.
Yeah, I like Deadman. I like Heartman. You know what I mean? Like,
it could be because I have gotten so grindy with the stuff that I'm really enjoying. Really enjoying the gameplay loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe that has pulled me further and further away from these characters that I otherwise would be interacting with on a more normal basis.
Yeah.
Like, I've interacted way more with kind of like the three main people in the middle region. The craftsman and the engineer. And
the woodsman.
Like, right, yeah. I've gotten to know these people a lot more because I've gotten so addicted to that gameplay loop.
Sure.
And it's so fun and it's so satisfying to me. But I was telling, like, when I first talked to everybody in this room about the game, I think what I said was like, it's a TV show when people say, oh, dude, just wait until season 4. That's when it gets going.
Yeah.
Like, if you drop out before that, I cannot blame anybody for dropping out early in this game because it isn't very fun at the beginning for me at all. I think like maybe 2 hours in, I was thinking like, fuck, this, you know, this is a miss for me. This is a miss. And I love Kojima. This is a huge miss for me until I got into
the rhythm.
The rhythm of towards the end of chapter 2 going into, or episode 2 going into episode 3, that's where I found a lot of enjoyment. And that I discovered the systems more, and it became that, like, every side quest, I want to do that now. Where I like progressing the story, who gives a shit? I want to build out this highway. I'm addicted to this.
Right. For me, it was like, I got an email from Jeff Keighley saying, not like in the game,
saying, I was like, wait,
hey, can you deliver this?
Luden's
like,
fan.
Yeah, this Luden's action fan. Figure to someone else. I'm like, oh, cool. I got an email quest, a named quest. I'm probably going to get like some cool dialogue or something interesting is going to happen. It's like, no, it was just the same path I've gone on over and over. So if this is the level of side quest in the game, why am I doing it? And like that was kind of my realization of maybe I should just main story this because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of interesting stuff in the side quests.
Yeah, it's worth noting why. Why do you do that? You start to realize that in addition to this grind for a status, getting liked, which is a whole different discussion, it's bling, like. This Facebook social commentary thing that's going on, which is awesome coming from Kojima.
But is it?
Okay. Save that for later. My point is it's worth noting. Doing these side quests, you get some stuff pretty fast sometimes. You're like, hey, I found this
thing. Hey, thanks
for
doing
you.
This. Here's this thing I'm
holding
on to. And
it's this upgrade
made
thing.
A new gun.
You're like, oh, actually, I totally want. That's where power I started
armor,
to get the grind.
Yeah, power armor
oh, this
level
guy,
two.
This guy's a craftsman. This guy's making gadgets for me. Oh, shit. What else can I get out of this guy?
This guy's a doctor.
What
Maybe
else can I get out of this
health.
Relationship,
like,
you know?
Exactly. And that is where I started. The side quest did become rewarding. Also, there are elements that it's not just the exact same path every time. As the game progresses, you get different timefalls. Timefall is this toxic rain that, I don't know if we want to.
Speeds up time.
Yeah,
and
speeds up time.
You, whatever.
And it ruins things
packages,
in the world.
Yeah, your packages have two different meters on them, right? Where it's the container, how much damage that can take, and then the package inside itself.
And it's punishing, but you'll be like in the middle of the delivery, you got a container in your back, you get hit with a massive time fall, and it's a side quest. You're just living like energy drinks to this old dude. And this is the game, by and large. And you stop, you go, if you like the game, just to illustrate the point, you will either stop and build something to help yourself. You will find like a crevice to go under and spray your cargo with like
your
a
repair kit,
time repairing spray that runs out. It is so punishing. I think those are the people
that
like it.
But then it's
it.
The thing, right, where it's the grind of it. Whereas you go through and, like, you have, you know, your PCC, right, that you can use to create things on the fly. As you, you know, it starts with very much, like, you can have a locker. And I was like, why the hell would I ever make a locker, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you have a charger. Okay, that makes sense for my power armors, my car, my trike. Okay, great. And then eventually a timefall shelter, right, where you can build that and run to it. And then you know,
you can upgrade those pieces too,
of course. And then also the idea of how online does work, and the fact that this is a desolate, lonely game you're playing. Yeah. Until it's not, and you run into right now it's easy because we're all playing it for review. So I say, oh, there's Danny O'Dwyer's thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm seeing people I know. But even when I'm not, seeing other people's name structures that they've put down, and me hitting the like button, not even as like the like joke or whatever, but like really like, oh man, this saved my ass.
Yeah, thank you for putting this here.
Yeah, the most fun I've had in that game was like Vinny Caravello, Giant Bomb, and I were basically building highways, even though we never interacted. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would just see his name, like he used your paper.
Yep.
And I find his, and I start putting like things to that too.
Yeah.
Like that's fun. That is like building a world together.
Yeah.
I think honestly, this game is a little too guided. Like, if it didn't have that story stuff, it was just, like, if it was a Rust-style whatever,
yeah.
I think that would be more interesting than what the actual game turned out to be.
So, Juan Lobo writes in and says, I have one simple yet charged question for the game. Is it fun? And now, Fran, you're Mr. Gameplay.
I always say that.
But you are the guy that you don't care about story.
Yeah,
you
I can tell you. I don't care as much about the story.
How does the gameplay hold up in this?
It's like Andy was saying that I was in like chapter 2. I think they're called episodes, by the way. Episode 2.
And you're playing on hard.
Playing on hard mode.
You can switch at any time.
I have some questions about that for later. So you can switch at any time. It'll restart you at your last
hard
save.
Hard mode, man.
But I am playing in hard mode. I don't know the differences yet, but again, there you go. I love gameplay. I love when it's punishing and a game says, Super Metroid is one of my favorite games of all time because you get somewhere, you see a door, and you're like, crap, like, I want to get in there, and like, how do I get it? You figure that out later. This is a little different in that you want to go places fast, and you're like, but I'm just walking slow. But you start to get these upgrades and learn. I would say the skill gap is pretty good in that I'm like 40 hours in, and I'm starting to be like, oh, yeah, I got this. Now I'm going to go fast here. I'm going to build this thing. And I'm 40 hours in, and I'm learning new ways where I feel like an advanced player. And so anyway, on that front, I'm getting into this grind of – it almost feels real. I know this might sound crazy. I'm curious what you guys think. The world became batshit crazy. Like Kojima, like, what is this about? I still don't understand what a stranding is. You guys explain it to me. That's where I'm at with the story. But the world starts to become real. The characters become real. And just like running from A to B, I start to feel this world is like so real. And I want to help it progress. And I want to progress. So anyway, the gameplay it's still super punishing.
Is it fun?
But it is fun when you fall into this desire to want to get better and to do things better. So, yeah, it is just walking from point A to point B, and you might fall over. But as you learn how to combat that or, like, build these roads, it really gets in your bloodstream.
Andy, is this game fun?
For me right now, yes, absolutely. Like, I am to the point where I wish... I was just telling Tim, I wish Outer Worlds wasn't out because I'm loving Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
And I want to play that game more, but I'm really enjoying Death Stranding. At the start of it, no. I wasn't finding any fun with it until I got maybe about 10 hours in or so.
Yeah.
And it's that it became the thing I got addicted to in Phantom Pain with building out Mother Base and fulting out soldiers. And
let's go get special materials.
Knowing what materials you need to grab, knowing that this soldier is really, really good. Like I got into that gameplay loop where I got so addicted to building out this highway in the middle section of America where I saw this first little pod and I was like, oh, you build out thing, and then it created a road. I was like, oh, I mean, why even use this road? Like I won't fall on it, but big deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're the power legs you use don't use battery when you're on that road. Okay. Well, how much is the next piece? And then I started seeing these mule camps, and the mules are... The bad guys. These kind of crazy... Well, some of the bad guys. These kind of crazy former porters, delivery people.
Let me stop
people.
You, yeah. So, like, obviously, there's the Troy Baker character. There's the Max character. You've seen these. You know that they're, like, big baddies or whatever, right? Then I would say in the world, right, there's the mules, which would be... basically, people who are out there, they have their camps. You see them on the map with the giant yellow circle. They're... bad porters.
Going bad. They
they're there
thieves.
To take down porters and take their packages, right? They are the human-based bad guys, whereas then the other bad guys would be the BTs, which is, of course, those shadowy figures we've seen hanging in the sky, and then the, you know, black tar monsters coming out of the ground and grabbing you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah, we haven't
comparing
talked about
it, comparing it to Metal Gear at
all. We're still not through if it's fun.
One of my favorite things about Kojima games and about Metal Gear games is the boss characters and kind of the building up to these, like, larger-than-life characters that you have face-offs with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that in this game?
In a form.
Yeah.
There are boss fights. Some of them resemble Metal Gear fights. One of them resembles a Metal Gear fight almost like litigiously close.
Yeah.
To the point where like, oh, you just did the exact same thing again.
But when it happened, I was like, okay, this is cool. Because it was so different. And then I was like, it kind of hung on until a little bit too long. Where I was like, this would have like, been, I wish it was over.
Yeah, why does this have like three phases?
Exactly. But it was still a cool thing when it popped up.
But yeah, there's, if you're looking for like, oh, this is the equivalent of the Virtuous Mission, like the bosses, you know, group.
Yeah.
There's not that.
I'm glad that there's not the Metal Gear Solid 4 or, you know, there's not like the team of villains you're worried about, right? I think
Beauty and the Beast.
I think having it be that, hey, here's Mads and here's Troy.
Higgs.
Is great. And I think, as we're talking about the acting, both those performances are great.
Yes.
And Troy, like, obviously, we all know Troy's great, and we all love Troy, and Troy's a friend of Kind of Funny. I thought he fucking destroyed us.
He
kills
us.
And it's one of those rare things where he's not hiding behind anything, right? They map him just like they map Mads.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Troy's face, as you might have seen in the trailer, is in the game, and Troy is playing this character.
Yeah,
and he is fucked up, and he is weird, and he does weird shit.
He chews the scenery like no one had ever seen in a video game.
Yeah, and he fucking crushes. And so, like, I'm happy there isn't this giant, like, cast of characters, and it is... Here are the two guys we're following. How do they work? What's happening? What's really going on?
Yeah, and I would just say overall, where I'm at, episode 6, it's just not a boss-driven type game. You hit encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, honestly, that might change later.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're boss fights.
Yeah, but meaning, overall, you don't run into a lot of bosses, is all I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, like, at a certain point for me, I got so tired of, like, walking through BT sections, I would just let myself get caught.
Right.
And kill the BT.
Interesting.
Because, like, I'm just like, okay, well, this
clears
it up for a while. It always annoyed me that it doesn't clear it up for more than 5 minutes.
But you were trying to cheat, so
is it longer than when you clear out a mule section? A section of mules, which are the human enemies.
It is, like, literally you could kill a BT, go through an area, then immediately come back through an area, and it would still be BT'd up again.
Gotcha, okay.
So it's like, this is tedious.
I feel like when you would take down the mules, those sections stay open for a long time.
That actually does open up the area for porters to come through and all that stuff. Killing a BT doesn't really do anything besides clear it up for about 5 minutes.
Gotcha, okay. So just really quick, back to the Mother Base stuff, like that's what that sort of grind reminded me of a lot, and I really enjoyed it where... I'm in the middle of section of America, and there are kind of these three big mule areas where the bad guys, the bad porters are around. And that's kind of like their hangout section, and you see them walking around, and they're just doing their thing or whatever. But I got so addicted to knowing that I wanted to keep on building this road to see where it went and knowing that it was going to help me. And then I started – so I would go to this camp, and I would take them all down – and I was like, oh, I can drive their fucking truck. Holy shit.
Steal it.
So I put, so they have a giant truck that's almost like a SUV thing. Yeah. And now I am stealing all of their materials that they have, their metals, their cool things that I need to build out more things. Put them all in the truck, delivered them to the next little piece that would continue building out this road.
Yeah, now you have
and
like,
I was like, I can go to all these encampments
mass
now.
Mass delivery.
And keep taking out these things. And then also where you're doing that, you get that cool satisfaction of, oh, when I take out this camp, the enemy mules now have freedom to come in and just roam and steal shit for themselves, for us, for the good people again. And I'm continuing to build out this road. And then I unlock the vehicles. I unlock the little motorcycle that you could build.
The trike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The trike. And it's like, oh, shit, it doesn't use battery when it's on the sender. It's like an energy road kind of. This is fucking cool. And I just kept – and I got in that loop where that's what I did for like 2 straight days up until like 6 in the morning. And I got so addicted to it. And it felt great because not only was I building out this road, but I would find things on the way that I would take to these NPCs that you find in the world, the craftsmen, the people that would build things for you. They'd be like, you're doing a great job, man. You know what? I built out this new thing. Oh, by the way, the porters that are going out there, our porters that are going to gather materials, you're helping out a lot. And it sounds so stupid, but it's like it's social media, and the narcissist in me is like, I'm getting likes for doing all this cool shit, and I'm building out this road, and other players are enjoying that I'm helping out this thing.
That's
and
the weird thing about this game,
It sounds so cheesy. Like, we are connecting everything, and like I didn't expect it.
It's Sam Porter not being Solid Snake, just being a delivery guy. I mean, obviously, I don't want something. It rings to me so much of Dead Space. Where Isaac Clarke was never meant to be the hero. He was an engineer on the space station. All shit, everything went to hell, and he had to fucking fix it, right?
It doesn't stay that way.
Yeah, well, I know. Exactly. But as you're going through, right, and you're built, talking to these people and delivering their packages and the parts of the game, and they start building this legend around who you are and how you're able to go do this and just deliver these packages. Eventually, that is one of my complaints. I enjoyed the boss battles when they were more about, get the hell out of here. Run and hide. Go do this. Eventually, it does turn a corner where it is more Metal Gear-y, where it is like, oh, I have a rocket launcher. Oh, I have these assault rifles. Oh, I'm doing this. And I'm just fighting these giant things when I'd be like, well, why not? No, I liked it better when I felt like I was the underdog and I needed to get out of it.
Right, you feel like a human early on in that game, and then once you finally get to a point, like, you're just Solid Snake again.
Yeah.
But so, but a way less iconic Solid Snake. That's, again, that's one of my problems with Sam, is that I just don't... I have no connection to him yet.
Well, because he doesn't talk for most of the game. Like, you'll talk to these holograms who will say things and ask you questions, but Sam's like,
just
stays quiet. The entire time.
It's like, it's like they went with the what's-his-face of
Kiefer Sutherland.
The Kiefer Sutherland approach, where kind of like a silent protagonist.
Yeah. Does that change? Because when we were talking about the characters, and we still got to finish, you said it was fun or not.
Yes, right now I'm having a lot of fun with it, yes.
We got two more to go, and I can't wait to get to Imran. But when you were talking about characters, I was like, yeah, the thing about Sam is I don't feel much for him, and that's who I am. And I wonder if that changes. Now, it's episode 6 of 14 or whatever. Does it change where there's a few scenes, right, where, say, a character dies or something, and I actually felt kind of like, oh, man. Do you ever feel that way about Sam without spoiling anything?
For me personally, at the end, yes.
Yeah.
I think Sam is – I agree with everything we said of that he's super quiet, which makes it off-putting, which there's major parts where I would be sitting there and it's happening. It's just like – and I'm not even talking shit, but I'm like, is this just all Norman Reedus can do? Like, I'm trying to run through my head Norman Reedus roles where I've seen him be something other than just the quiet, like, what the fuck?
There's a scene in the game where, like, characters send Norman Reedus out of the room so they can have their own little vignette.
But by the end, I think it is a bit of that, all right, cool, like, we don't want him talking too much because we don't want, it's you, you're him, so how does it... At the end, there's decisions and things that happen in the story that I was like, oh, okay, and I did feel for him. And
yeah,
the
game becomes better once it becomes more like Metal Gear, which is reductive, and I know Kojima shot his shot on this one, and this is absolutely a good execution of an idea that I personally think is really flawed, but when the game does become more movie-like and more cinematic and honestly a little bit more action-like, I think it's a better game for it.
Interesting, because I think it's the opposite.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
So wait, is it fun, Imran?
I'll go back to my point once you're done saying if it's fun or not.
He's trying to stop him from saying it's not fun.
I would say the best thing about Death Stranding, the best compliment I could pay toward it, is that I kept playing even though I didn't like the actual act of playing it. That it was tedious. It's probably one of the most tedious games I've ever played to completion. But I still was fascinated to see the rest of it. The is it fun, is it not fun question was something that came up last year with Red Dead Redemption 2, where I didn't think that game was fun at all. And please consider that when you consider my opinions on this, too. But some people were saying, like, I don't think games need to be fun. Like, that Dragon Cancer is not necessarily fun, but it's a 2-hour experience versus a 50-hour one.
Fun is so subjective, though, right? It's like, was it a good book, a good movie? Yeah,
Was it a good experience? Sure. Was it a enjoyable experience? No.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of my experience with The Last of Us and even like some of the Uncharted's, where I was playing those games cutscene to cutscene. Didn't really enjoy the gameplay, didn't have fun with those games, but they're some of my favorite games because of the story they're telling, because of the cutscenes. I'm still not super enamored with where this story is going so far, but I want to keep going because I know that there's going to be dumb, weird shit that really appeals to me. This is totally an art house movie that I walked out of and like, huh, that was cool, but I don't know if I could tell anybody to enjoy this. I was talking to Greg, like, this is not God of War 2018. This is not a game.
No.
Yeah. This is not a game that I could show to any person who likes video games and be like, you have to play this.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, but I don't know if I could broadly recommend it because it's such a weird niche game. I think it'll appeal to a lot of people who are into like Stardew Valley, you know, like because of the
Joey Buster the Wall,
because of the crafting and because of like, you know, that sort of inherent need to gather things and see the world grow around you and know that you are directly contributing to this growth.
Honestly, yeah. I cool could see feeling. People like who like MMORPGs could be really into this, or people who like games like Edith Finch could probably really be, not because it's a walking simulator, but because it's about personal stories.
Sure.
And you can find that in this game pretty easily. And you can also easily skip past all of it or not see it.
Yeah.
Or you could end up in weird experiences where the world seems a lot smaller because something you wanted to try didn't work.
Gotcha.
So this is going to be a very inflammatory question, but
light it up, Tim.
Do you think that
I'm on fire?
You hit a point with this game where you've just put so much time into it that you are convincing yourself that you liked the indie art movie, even though you didn't.
No. Like I wouldn't have put if I wasn't enjoying what I was doing, I'd probably be done with the game because I wouldn't have gotten so hooked on these activities, these sort of like very mundane tasks that I find really satisfying. No, I don't think I've hit that. I really do enjoy it, but it is like, again, it's not something that I could broadly recommend to just a video game fan.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, right, it's the conversation. I'm so, again, excited for this review embargo to see what everybody thinks, because I do feel it is another Red Dead. In the way that last year Red Dead 2 dropped, right, and I didn't like it. I didn't like Arthur Morgan. I did not like the mechanics of it and how it was like inundated in systems and stuff.
Listen
like
here,
that.
Dutch.
This is the same thing. But oh, I'm sorry. But with Red Dead 2 last year, if you remember, I was like, this is art, and I'm glad it exists, and I know it's not for me, and it's not connecting with me. Death Stranding is the complete opposite for me, where I love this game. And from the onset, I was in. Like, I didn't have the moment of, I thought it was, it is slow. I didn't have the moment of, like, when I was mad at Red Dead being slow, it was mad at, why can't I fucking run in camp? I just want to get over there. Let me get over there, right? That's not what Death Stranding is doing, right? This is a pace thing. And I was in the mood for it, even though I didn't know it when I started, right? This is that, I always give that lame story, right? Or, like, metaphor of that. Video games are the silly putty, and they've been pulled in every direction now, right? And there's a game for any mood you're in. When people in the industry, other reviewers, were, what do you think of it so far? This, that, and the other, talked to me about this. What I would say, not that I broke embargo PlayStation, was like, well, do you like walking and listening to the rain? And it's like, I do. And I don't know. This game's unlike anything I've ever played. And I know that it eventually gets more Metal Gear-y and stuff like that. But to your point of, cool, I'm walking over a mountain and I'm holding L2 and R2 and I'm just very carefully navigating down this cliffside.
Yeah, the
and
snow's
I'm,
deep.
I'm hitting R1 to look at the water levels to figure out if I can actually
snow?
Cross that. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
spoilers. Whiteout conditions.
I really dislike that part.
Yeah.
Like, that was the point where I'm like, I don't like this game.
Oh, snow?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Can we talk about that as a mechanic, I guess?
Sure, yeah. I mean,
when you start walking up snow, and when you lose stamina, you just start falling down, and the fall can go for, like, 5 to 6 seconds. So that is a significant amount of time you lose each time you fall.
Yeah, upgrade your gear, son.
So that's the thing, is the gameplay loop is a specific thing of... you start thinking something is cool, and then at some point it starts becoming tedious, and then they introduce something to make it a little less tedious. So, like, one example that we can talk about is the mule pinging.
I still have not successfully done that.
Yeah, so they the timing window is so open, you just need to, like, whenever you see orange, just hit it.
Okay.
But basically...
When you walk into a mule camp, they have these sticks in the ground, right? Mm-hmm. That if... Yeah, in the beginning, sensors. If you ping, it'll ping back at you, and then they'll also ping out there like a radar so that they can find you in the camp and have your location.
Right. For those
eventually, you get the upgrade, though, where you can hit your R1, which is the BB sunflower on your shoulder, and that you use to ping and see things. If you ping it when you hear it or see it, you can cancel it out eventually so that they don't see you.
But, like, that was tedious before, and then they choose a thing to make it less tedious. The mountain snow is one of those examples of... oh, God, this sucks so much to walk past. But if this is what they're going for, I'm interested in the fact that they committed to it. Then at, like, I don't know, maybe somewhere in the next chapter, or they go, okay, well, here's a thing that just makes that better. Like,
see, and I both those examples I liked. And I know that's weird, right? Mm-hmm. And I know, and, like, same thing for BTs. Now, I didn't do the, for me, again, golden pathing it, let's get this review done. Like, I was very much... going through BT things, like, on my straight journey across America. So I was rarely doubling back and running into the same areas and stuff. But specifically, like, the snow, it's weird because I was talking to another reviewer, right, who was just like, I hate this game. And the baby won't stop crying to the point that I turned off. I sent it to the speaker and I turned off the controller. And I was like, My baby, baby never was crying, cries.
Really?
My baby never
if
cried.
If you fall a lot and you're
mine
not
was crying a lot.
I never it, like, felt. Like, I never had
I
a...
I felt like...
Because I would always just... Because I don't do the right or left balance. You just hold both.
Yeah, and you go slower. You go slower you and slow you do down. Your thing. Yeah,
I felt for, like, really dumb reasons of, like, oh, I think I can make this small drop on this mountain cliff. And for some reason, Norman Reedus would then take, like, a running start after he falls and then go into, like, another rock. It's like, I didn't intend to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just
it's
did
a
it.
Slope. He's got momentum because of the cargo. Like,
but,
I know,
like, it doesn't look like it's supposed to have momentum. It just looks like he fell on it wrong. Or, like, you get off on a motorcycle on a slippery rock.
Yeah.
And, like, then you're going to just trip over and drop all your shit.
The baby crying is horrible. Yeah. It is, from the mic, it sounds so screechy and bad. Where it's just like, that's not the game's fault. That's the controller.
I had it through
fault.
The TV like, the whole time.
These people, the hardware designers need to stop putting mics on controllers unless they're going to be quality mics. Yeah, speakers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you can change that in the settings, by the way. If you didn't know that, you can actually put it on your TV.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it was just like, this. It was so screechy.
Yeah.
Get good, son. The amount Get better of, at walking and taking the, care of a baby.
Yeah.
The
amount of,
that's what the game is.
But for real, that, like, and I'm full stop, and I totally justified criticism. Don't get me wrong. I love yeah, this.
Yeah, this is a pregnancy but home ec thing. Of
for
like,
me, it was
don't destroy
like,
the egg.
I rarely ever had the baby cry.
Like it cried once for me, and I was like, I'm done.
Like, that's when you're like, I'm done playing this
I don't
game.
Want kids.
Yeah, no, it was yeah, exactly.
Mine only cries around BT stress for the most part.
Yeah. Which kind of sucks, too, because, like, oh, the baby, what, how do you pronounce the autosomnia?
Huh?
Autosomnia.
Oh, yeah, no, you're asking Greg Miller how to pronounce that?
There's a thing that happens to your BB if it gets too stressed out, and then it has to be taken care of in a private room somewhere else.
Oh, like the anemic state.
Yeah. It's sometimes, like, he'll be totally fine as you go into a BT area, but something will happen, and you just can't get it solved before you leave.
It's okay that the baby cries, though. It's fine. You know, you don't have to fix it. Yeah, and you can. You can. That's what's crazy about this game is you develop an actual attachment, too, that at first I was like, there's no way I'm rocking this baby. And I'd be in the middle of a fight. I took care of, like, one of the BTs. Yeah, oh, and we should talk about it. You can choose the rocket with the...
Oh, I did six
play
axes.
Yeah. So six axes. I was... Oh, yeah. I had that...
Six axes is the only way to go with that.
Yeah.
I was doing that, and I was, like, checking Twitter on my phone. I didn't realize I was doing it at a weird angle. So I was, like, just shaking the baby. I was, like...
It's like really?
Baby doesn't like that. Shaker. Baby does not like when you shake
baby
it.
Baby does not when you are distressing it in this fucking... Like,
it's weird how that mechanic... Like, I feel like in the small amount of time I played, there was... like, I fell, and, like, he started crying... So I very carefully soothed it, and he gets to the point where, like, the baby kind of smiles and, like,
yeah. He'll give you a
love bubble.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is weirdly good feeling.
So that's the thing is, I feel like even though I only played a couple hours, like, the game introduces a lot really quickly, and I think that, like, it, I commend it for that, where I feel like it does kind of get going fast. And one thing that I really did like was the like system. Mm-hmm. And, like, seeing people, like, social networky style leave stuff around that you can like. I wanted to like things. I wanted to do that. A question was written in here from Danny D.
Danny D!
When Kojima said we were already playing the game, was he telling the truth or was it just marketing hype? Not sure how much you could tell given it's not widely available yet, but I'm curious as to see how social this game really is. The demonstration of finding things placed by others in the open world was cool, but didn't seem like it would have that big of an impact on the experience.
I mean, it has
a huge impact for me.
Huge impact.
It is basically the core of the game, honestly.
Yeah, you want to play it online. Don't play it offline.
Yeah. I was talking to Tim about this where I was purposely going to areas, and I it kind of has that again. I've only seen people play Souls games, but I know about the warning system. I know about the Mario Maker like putting, and I love like, oh, there's BTs on it.
Yeah, you're heading over there, and then there's the ghost symbol. Like, oh crap.
Or on a long walk, I'd be like, you know what? There haven't been any battery charges in a while. Let me put one down.
Yep.
Because I know it'll be helpful for other people as well. And
for me, it was always...
Sure enough, it was. And I'd get likes on it.
I mean, that said, it's also Dark Souls in that way. It's like...
Souls games. Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily, like, the most revolutionary thing ever. It's a message system, which is cool, and I wish more games would do it. But it is also, like you said, the backbone of this game.
But there's two things. There's the message system, putting down signs and requests for
the
things.
The structure thing is the structure actual very
those,
cool thing.
Yeah, but just for those listening, right, there's signs, and that's one thing is to get a like for your sign. Some of the signs actually reward stamina. Or you get a speed up for your bike. So you start putting stuff down as like a speed marker on a road. And you want to get those likes. You want to be the first to do it. The other side of it is when you build a structure and people like it because they're using it, but also it's a message to say, keep this, upgrade this. Things are going to deteriorate over time, by the way. And we that's which the part we haven't seen yet.
Also kind of sucks.
Some things, like I've had ladders show up on, you get all these notifications constantly. This is the social side they're talking about.
Left okay, so there's an side. Hour thing, because like towards the end of the game for me, it was these things are starting to deteriorate. And that was every message I got, like every 2 seconds is, by the, like this ladder is starting to deteriorate. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going back there.
Yeah, and it's a little hard, I think, to find these things. I don't know if that's worth getting into, but things would start to deteriorate, and I'm like, I would love to go put a new ladder down. And I'm like, I'd look at the map. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, last night in Endgame, I started getting a whole bunch of those notifications, and it was just like, I'm in the middle of this. I don't know what you're talking about. I worry about the rest of it out there.
Yeah. Seems like it's a 40-hour mark issue.
I've started getting that last night, where I've started getting notifications about certain, and I'm worried of like, fuck, those roads that I spent building.
Dude, the roads that was so my thing. Is like, you know, I went off and did a whole bunch of missions and stuff, and when I doubled back to somewhere, and this is early on, but there was a road now basically connecting the entirety of the thing, and I jumped on. I was like, this is awesome.
It's so cool.
And then like end of the game, pretty much, right? I'm backtracking, and I went back there, and the roads had deteriorated. I was like, this is so great.
Yeah,
so,
we had something good going here, man.
There was actually like, it kind of bothered me that there was a specific place by the south of Knot City distribution center where like that area is surrounded by canyons and whatever. So I put one bridge, and then I noticed somebody else put another bridge over another valley.
Yeah.
I was like, that made me feel good because it felt like we were actually a community trying to figure out our way over this really dumb design. When I went back there and the bridges were, or my bridge was there because like whatever, but the other guy's bridge was gone. Like, this actually sucks. It reminded me of Journey when I lost somebody at the end of the trip. Yeah. Like, that actually hurts from a multiplayer perspective, even though I never talked to this person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God damn it, God of Lore, you did great.
Dude, God of Lore is all over my
head. Yeah, God of Lore is everywhere.
I didn't see Greg once. I didn't see you
once. I saw Greg once. You liked one of my things at one point.
Oh, did I?
I don't know if I saw it.
I don't know your username is probably why.
It's just Imran67.
I haven't seen that.
Why not 69?
There's that one area in the south of Knot City or whatever. Or no. The one where goddamn Edgar Wright is at. I forgot. Edgar Wright's kit, like NPC.
Yeah,
like
I saw him in the credits. About. I didn't see him in the game because I was like,
okay. He's one of the main guys. Like, he's at one of the main distribution centers.
Maybe I just don't know what Edgar Wright looks like.
He's got the mustache with the disconnected beard or whatever.
Anyway. Oh, he looks like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy. I took a screenshot the first time I ran into that guy because I was like, it looks like him.
Yeah.
This looks like him.
Yeah, so there's an area there that I, you know, there have been several times that I'm like, I can make this jump with the speed boost on the motorcycle.
Yeah,
and
that's
him. And I never do. It's actually that third photo right there, Kevin. That's like almost exactly the
image. Yeah, it looks like
him. Oh, he was that guy.
So, yeah, he was that guy. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe just to answer the question as well, like, the social element is this. If you want to play offline, it's going to suck in the sense of like, You'll really hit these points where you're like, crap, I need a ladder. You do not want to go all the way back. That is not fun. And seeing other people that have built stuff, you're like, yeah. And also realizing that you might have had an idea and you're like, wait, that's definitely a better place to put this. It's just a really cool experience. And I also wanted to just clear up, it is not an MMO. They're not people walking around.
No,
it's also a limited, we don't know exactly, but there's a limited server capacity of how many things and people you'll see on it.
You have a chiral network.
Explains why I never saw Greg. I don't know if there's a chance of him showing up, but again, it's not like this.
I was in the Cleef Adams world.
It's not like we all share the same world, is my point. There's servers and things that will deteriorate over time.
One of your generators once.
I saw Khalif stuff, and I saw Danny O'Dwyer stuff, but I never saw any of y'all.
Well, I never saw your stuff, Andy. So.
I'm kind of a piece of shit, because it was literally like, you guys built everything. I don't need anything.
You were the take a penny, not the give a penny
guy. I'm not giving a penny. Yeah. I dropped a few chargers. That's what I always seem to need the most.
But that's exactly the amazing part about it is it allows you to play the game that way, where you didn't need to build because other people did legitimately. Yeah. And that's the difference. If you had to build all that stuff, it would have really slowed you down.
There was a cool moment last night where I after a very long mission and like trekking through a lot of BT territory, which let's talk about that a little bit after this because it's so like intense and I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. But I got to an area that's pretty far out and pretty desolate, and there wasn't really much around there. I was not on the chiral network. I finally brought them online, and when I brought them online, I was like, dude, my leg pack is super low, and I hope I have the materials I need.
Your battery?
In order to, the battery on my leg pack is very low. Mm-hmm. My boots are really worn down. Like, I hope I have enough things to build something here. Yeah.
You're in trouble, basically.
But then when I walked out of the facility, now that it was brought online to the chiral network, things that people had built had spawned.
Right.
So there was a battery charger there.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a base here that I could go underneath and like rest in or whatever. And I was like, that's fucking cool.
That's good you brought that up. Because yeah, the game, it's just for clarity, right? When you start to connect, you don't see all the stuff that other people built. So you actually are relatively helpless. I think there might be some limited things. Like you'll see some player stuff regardless of
being on the network. I think the game has default stuff. I played it all the way offline. Yeah.
Actually, some characters do have like their own thing. Like the early on in the game, you see like Igor.
Yeah, there's some porters. So I think it is that if you played completely disconnected from the internet, that the game would spawn.
There's some NPC parts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But for the little I played, there was ropes for me. There was like things, and I was like, there's no way that someone left this.
And also, one thing I want to say is good about it is that Kojima did convince Sony to not charge for any of that, so you don't have to be on PS Plus to actually play.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, that's cool. Awesome. That's so the incentive for going and connecting to places, once it's brought online, you see all these signposts and stuff that people built, and it changes immediately around you, like Andy said.
It's called the chiral network, and you got to,
you bring it online.
We compare it to a cell phone network. Like, when this, you go down to this very, very this small base really south on the map, and it's not connected to anything, but maybe there's an NPC there that's like, nah, man, y'all are terrorists. I don't agree with what you're doing. But maybe
you do a few missions
over here
for me. Yeah,
do a few missions, and I'll find some faith in what you're doing.
Well, that's one of the cool things about the way they set it up is that, especially with me, like powering through, like when you're looking at the network and you're going through sections, like slices that are offline, it was like I wanted to bring them online to have the stuff there to be able to use whatever abilities I could to, charge
to
and
see
what
you
can't. Can't build if it's not online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another interesting mechanic.
I kind of don't like the lack of nuance in that, though. This goes into writing a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're trying to set this argument of, do you trade privacy for convenience and security? Because there are people who are like, I don't want to be on the network because I don't want the government watching me for everything.
I don't trust you all.
And then it's like, actually, you delivered me two things. So
you brought me
they're total pushovers.
Yeah,
which, maybe that's a larger commentary about, say, Amazon or something. Who knows? Yeah. But it does kind of destroy the nuance of the argument a bit.
Sure. Or how we always just agree to every terms and service.
Though, speaking of writing, that's kind of a thing I want to hit because there are parts of the game that I think are legit bad writing.
Yeah.
If you're worried, if people at home are curious, like, hey, has Kojima matured as a writer when it comes to women? Not really.
Yeah.
There are some really bad scenes in that game. Not as many as other games, but, he tries to take another bite at the quiet apple, and it doesn't work out great because the camera can't help itself in some of those scenes.
Mm. Oh, great. Yeah, we get more of that. I haven't seen that yet.
There's straight up a scene with Leia Sado that I was like, really? You're fucking doing this?
I don't think I've hit that yet.
There are characters, there's some other characters that there's a pretty massive change in them, and then they don't talk about it ever again, really. And if this is a male character, you would have gone further with this. And it is frustrating.
Do you think it's better, though?
The writing on a whole?
I mean, it's comparing is to Quiet in particular.
Yeah,
right?
Quiet's it's better.
Bottom of the barrel.
Yes. He got better about a lot of things, but honestly, this is the kind of thing where he needs an editor. Yep. He needs some people looking at his script and be like, okay, I understand what you're going for, but did we need her to be in her underwear in the scene, you know?
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. And Kojima might say, yes, we do. And someone needs to say push back on that a little bit, make the story prove that.
Has he only gotten better in the fact that we see Norman's butt?
All the time.
That's the one improvement.
The story does get into, if you want to explore Kojima's id, it's very Freudian towards the end. And it's a thing that, okay, I understand more about what he wants, what he thinks of the world now. From that perspective, it's interesting. But, the character writing, we talked a little bit before about how characters just kind of exposit their backstory at you, and then they stop. They stop ceasing to have a character arc at that point, and they just kind of exist in the background. And I don't think it's necessarily all that great. I think the overall story is interesting, and it's fascinating, and I want to know more about the world, and it tells you. It'll tell you every single question you have is going to be answered in this game, maybe to a fault.
I do like the world building, and I do agree that it can be to a fault, because it's as if, in you're playing Metal Gear and there's this crazy weird story and it's all very confusing, but your buddy is constantly emailing you about exactly what's happening in the plot and who those characters are.
They literally say, so one character has a thing on them and another character emailed me. It's like, hey, have you seen that thing on that character? I think it's a symbol for, and they explain the symbolism of the item.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Why would you say that out loud? And they do that more than once.
Emails?
Do it. Yeah. Emails do. Sometimes in cutscenes they explain it. It's like, do you not trust the audience or do you not trust your story?
I haven't felt beaten over the head with that yet. But I haven't read a lot of the emails unless they're like yellow. There's like yellow.
Yeah, the important
emails. Skim over a lot of it at some point because
lot to read.
But I kind of dig it. Like, you're right, because for the side quests I did do early on, I like getting the updates about it, like the married couple and like their drama and troubles and this one.
Who are they? Because it's like the
character, I gotta imagine she's someone famous.
Like she's a because I looked her up later when she was in the credits. She was a model or something. But yeah, there's one vignette, and it's like the only thing in the game that I saw, at least on the main story, that's like that is about a couple. Mm. And to the point where it's just about them for like 10 minutes.
It's a big part of that chapter.
Yeah, and then there's not really anything like that in the rest of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are the cameos cool?
It went on
cool?
for a while.
Yeah.
Huh?
Are the cameos cool? Like, are there a ton of them?
There's a decent number.
You see their faces, but it's always a different voice.
You mean like Edgar Wright or Conan O'Brien or Jeff?
Yeah.
It really does feel like a lot of the budget was spent on those cameos. Like, the fact that every single distro center and area you, like, little post box area you go to for deliveries is exactly the same kind of sucks for, like, a AAA game. Like, at some point, they should be way more varied. There's a couple of exceptions.
What do you mean by varied? The geometry?
The insides of them should look different.
Yeah, like, when you're always... I mean, like, if I dropped you in front of the mouth of one of these things and you were going into them, right, it's always down that ramp. It's always the thing right here.
There's also, like, they're in cities, but you never see the cities or the people. Like, the first big...
The few times we do, it's like, oh, man, this is cool. Like, world building of, like, here's a destroyed town, right?
Yeah,
like, oh,
but, like, the first big city you go to says population, like, 51,000. Yeah. And the boss fight later makes a big deal about the fact, like, there's so many people living here. Don't let the BT get involved with any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, but
I don't see anybody.
Yeah, don't there's
all,
no one there.
They're all
Do they all live underground,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah, they're on their bunkers, right?
Yeah, they all live, like, underground.
And it's just like, show me someone outside of a hologram, and they do occasionally. Like, that's what the couple quest was basically about. It was like, okay, they're finally ready to do this. But it's the same hologram.
I just hit that part, and I was like, oh, this is where it's about to change, but that's kind of like discouraging, and that is one of the few instances. Yeah, I mean, I can easily see where this game does cut back on the budget because, you know, obviously we're in this giant America world, but a lot of it is terrain tool and dropping rocks, and a lot of it could possibly be like computer generated. But yeah, I think
you
so.
You just felt like it was a paint. I have totally,
I mean, no, it's gorgeous. Disagree. It's gorgeous, but a lot of it is very samey, and maybe they'll change. It'll be a color palette swap with different
rock models. See, I don't think you've
gotten stuff.
I mean, I know what you're saying. I think the detail of the geometry of this terrain is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely draws that, like, Red Dead Redemption 2 vibe. But even more so, I can't believe at how much, like, yeah, there's all these little moon rocks everywhere. And, like, it feels different everywhere. I don't feel like I ever went down the same path.
But also, like, I guess I'm talking more from the fact that this is supposed to be all of America.
I get that, you know? And you do start to experience different, like you said.
There's
like
three main sections, right?
Yeah. And you're right, it's compressed. Yeah. You'll literally go from, like, big, you know, whatever, moonscape, rainy, to, like, it's desert, red Mars, very quickly.
Yeah.
But each of those areas feel very rich to me, and I actually think a ton of detail was put into the terrain, if not above everything. It's a
weird thing in the game, right, that I understand totally the distribution centers being, like, cut and paste, right, that it is the same thing.
Those, yeah.
But it's the weird objective of walking there being the gameplay that I don't know if that gets around it, at least for me, where it was, like, I never cared about the destination. It was about the journey, and it was about how to climb, and it was about if somebody actually put a climbing rope over there, if I was going to put down a ladder, or where I was going to go, or how I was going to come down the side.
At the end of the day, the question is, do you think they wanted that to look different, and they were budget limited because, like, or do you think they wanted it to all look the same? And if they did all want it to look the same, like, I can kind of respect that. I don't agree with it because I feel like there should be some visual reward for me to make it that way.
Yeah.
But
I it's hard to say, right? And I don't want to go out on a budgetary limb. I would think in terms of the vision behind it. It is the ideas that, right, it was Amelie and all the Bridges people going out there building these distribution centers. Right. It's kind of like...
It's a game about connecting humanity that has very little humanity in those parts.
That's correct. But yeah, no, that I agree with 100%. That's why, like, with the couple, it was a really big deal when the door opened.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, another human. All
the,
right, cool.
The fact that they couldn't make a model for her to walk alongside you was weird.
Well, and it's because of the temporal downpour, don't forget. You know what I mean? We got all the rain going on. That's
it's like, let's put her in a fucking body bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I will agree on the production side of, like, the main scenes with, like, Higgs and Mads, and, like, that's where all the money went.
Yeah.
I don't know about these, like, Bridges locations, and they all look the same, because there are some that are different, right? You get up in the mountains, a little bit different, and you see some signs that they didn't. It's not literally cut.
There are about, like, I would say, like, four or five exceptions.
But when you look at it, in other words, I would bet for the most part they wanted it to be this way. However, I would agree that, let's say, there's a Death Stranding 2 or whatever, like something in this vein. I would have liked to see the cities more developed. Like, when you open them up, like, things start to happen. Or maybe you can go underground or whatever it is. That feels missing. But I also think there could be the argument to be made of this desolate, like, loneliness. And you don't get to connect with these people directly.
And I do think that's part of it. And I think that's what's interesting. And I understand why it's off-putting to some, interesting to others. Where I think that they are, Kojima is with this, right, doing this thing where he wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel at arm's length from humanity the entire time. And sure, that comes down to, like you're saying, a flappy head, like, hologram talking to you, which is weird. But then as the story progresses and things start to change and you do start to interact with more people, I think it matters more.
But, like, the game has a certain amount of repetition that I think starts to grate on you over time. Like, oh, it's always going to be the same, him putting the box in here.
Yeah.
It's always going to be the same, him taking the thing out,
yeah,
him connecting the BB. All that stuff is always the same animation.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, skip this.
That stuff's a problem.
And I'm like, is this going to be the one time it's different? Is this going to be the time that Mads Mikkelsen is opening the cork on the wine? And it's like, oh, actually, this is a different scene.
Yeah.
And am I skipping the wrong one? And, like, it starts to get so tedious. It takes four pressing options, hitting right, hitting X, like, scenarios to get out of taking a shower. Like, you hit the triangle button.
It's a huge problem. Yeah,
skip, 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 skip. Four times for that one thing.
It's a good, good segue, because I was wanting to be like, what's wrong with the game? And this hits right on it for me.
Right, there's just so many animations that are just constantly repeated.
Scene after scene.
That is kind of my thing, like, overall with the game. It's like, is this bad because it's bad, or is this bad because they want to prove a point? And
it's an oversight, in my opinion.
By the time I finished the game, like, that's what I was thinking overall for everything of, is this bad, or is this bad because there's a deeper answer to it? And ultimately, I shot up last night when I was asleep, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this game. And that's one of the things, is some of these things are bad, and some of them are just, like, idea concept bad, you know?
Yeah, I have a good way to ask this question. So, going into your private room for the first time, getting rest, it's really cool because it's a very real location that it actually kind of builds out a little bit, right? You put stuff on the walls.
Yeah, your guns start showing up on the thing.
Yeah, it's kind of cool too. It's your little museum, and you can take a shower and you can go to the mirror and take photos. And
you love that mirror, don't you, Fran?
Yeah, I love it.
Showered instantly.
Yeah, you can see Norman's butt as much as you want.
And an ad for AMC's The Ride.
If he's going to poop, you're going to see
AMC's. Yeah, you can take a crap. But anyway, that's all there. But would you guys have been up for... And why isn't it there is my question of, okay, I've done that sometimes. Now, if I just want to rest in my room, which you literally, you have to go down the elevator. Now you skip that if you want, and then you got to lay down. And then now you got to get up. And then now I got to walk over to the shower. And wait, I wanted to look.
Blood gets deposited.
Yeah, so basically, this is what Imran's talking about. Would you have been up for, I just want to rest and stay up top?
Yeah, just let me do this as a menu.
An option to be like, rest and bloop. Or does the realism, it's so like, tries to make you do these things that are more real and spend time on, but they're so repetitious. Would you have been up for like a recycle and immediate? For as an example, every time you recycle items, it's like,
thank you for conveyor coming, belt.
Thank you for donating to the Bridget Foundation.
You have to skip every time you recycle an item that slows down your gameplay progression. So bad.
Well,
Honestly, I
think it would have been fine if this was a 15-hour game.
Yes. Like, this game is too fucking long.
So my quick answer is, this stuff is an oversight. It needs to be fixed, and I hope they think about it at a patch.
We haven't seen this team do that. Not an oversight. This is a design decision.
To recycle an item every time, that's the same thing.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not here. I'm not here defending it, saying it's the right thing to do. No. I'm telling you, they knew that they wanted it to
Greg
be.
Greg is
like
right.
This
but is they what
let
they
you
wanted.
Skip it. Why does it take two skips? Recycling as an example. Because, you can skip the first half of the seed, and then you can skip the second
because
seed.
Because someone at Sony is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, like, they made them skip it.
That's my guess.
Like, and that was the best they could do.
You have to add a skip button. We can't have this in the game.
Okay. But are you guys okay with this or not? You're not okay.
No, obviously, it's a larger conversation about the tedium of the game for me.
I don't really have a problem with it. Like, I just skip past it.
I played 37 hours, like I said, right? And it wasn't until last night where I was like, oh, I can skip the shower.
Right?
Because I was like, don't get me wrong. This is what's so fascinating about this game and hearing you guys talk about it. Where I'm from is like, maybe it's because I'm such a Kojima fan or whatever, but literally it was like, here's my ticket. I'm along for the ride. And so for me, yeah, like, would it have been cool to skip stuff? Of course. I mean, like, you know, do you want to just rest
super
and be ready
fast
to go? Yada, yada.
Rest.
Of course. Sure. Whatever. I think it would have changed what the game was because there is. And again, I understand being put off by it and everything else. I think there's ceremony too. Going down there, covered in shit. There's BT handprints all over you. Your bags are all fucked up. You go down there, you collapse in your bed. You get up, you take the shower. You get see him get
shower.
Psyched up or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. the best he can to go back out there and fucking wander around in the goddamn rain.
The only thing that I have ever skipped past is when the fragile jump mm-hmm. when she. Sure. Apparates and is like, where do you want to go? I'll just like, yeah, you can fast travel in this game, which was when that was sort of first presented. I was like, oh, thank fuck, because on the eastern side, the initial sort of starting point of this game, the east side of America, I never wanted to do any of the side missions because I was like, if I'm gonna be walking everywhere, fuck this, right? Mm-hmm. But I finally fast traveled back to the eastern part. And you don't have the ability to, like, use a vehicle. Like, I didn't find the ability to fabricate vehicles. Because I was like, oh, I'll go back to now that I have all this cool shit that I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me go back there and use all this cool shit that I have.
Only certain places can do it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Because Fragile explicitly says, like, well, wherever you're going, you can't bring any of the shit with you.
Yeah, nothing on your backpack.
It's like Terminator. Where it's like, yeah, if you're going to go through, it's going to be
like
you.
The rules on it are very weirdly inconsistent of like what they bring with them and what they don't.
I mean, if you're paying attention, like there's blood and stuff and like these things mean to them.
I mean, like there are times where like you come out of it like, oh, yeah, we brought all your guns back. Like, oh,
that's
okay.
I don't mind the tedium of the small cutscene because you know what? I'll pull out my phone. I'll look at Twitter.
All right.
Like, it's just like my me time.
That's how you end up shaking
it's
a
my
baby.
Me time.
All right. Well, I have more beef to chew on that one.
But before
you
chew on that beef, Fran, let me tell you. This episode of the Kind of Funny Games Cast is brought to you by Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers in 2019, have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, just like Death Stranding. You know what I mean? You guys are out there connecting the Mint Mobile signals,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Mint Mobile Chiron network.
Yeah. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead and then passes the savings directly to you. They make it super easy. I did it for my mom. And man, trust me, if she can use a phone, literally anybody can. Figuring out how to get all this stuff going, it was super, super, super simple. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month, which is fantastic. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. And with Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data you'll never use. You can choose between different plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. You can also use the phone that you already have. It's just a little SIM card. They send it to you. Again, couldn't make it easier. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get your plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/kinda. That's mintmobile.com/kinda. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/kinda. Also, shout out to Felix Gray. You may not realize it, but the average American blasts their eyes with bright screens for 11 hours every day. Isn't that crazy, Greg?
That's crazy, Tim.
Last time I was doing this ad read, I was talking about all the different screens. Like, use your laptop screen, your computer screen, your cell phone screen, your TV screen, whatever screen.
Phone screen.
Kevin screams from the background, ice cream. No, Kevin.
God damn it, Kevin.
No. The majority of Americans live with tired, dry eyes, blurry vision, or headaches caused by screens. And if this sounds familiar, Felix Gray glasses might be for you. Felix Gray glasses filter out 90% of high-energy blue light and eliminate 99% glare coming from your daily barrage of screens. Unlike other blue light filtering glasses, Felix Gray use proprietary blue light technology embedded into the lens as opposed to a cheap coating that can easily chip or scratch over time. They have a bunch of different styles you can get. I was looking at the site. I really, really like. There's like a slate gray. Oh, God, Kevin. Oh, God. Really great slate gray one. I hate sometimes. I just look over at Kevin Coelho's face, and he just gives me the shark look, and he knows it's going to get me. Anyways, these glasses would look good on that face, too, Kev. Let me tell you that. Felix Gray frames are handcrafted from the same high-quality materials used in high-end designer frames like organic Italian acetate and German-engineered steel. Wow. Don't go another day looking at screens without the help of some Felix Grays. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/kinda for free shipping and 30 days of risk-free returns or exchanges. That's felixgrayglasses.com/kinda. Felix Gray. Gray is G-R-A-Y. Glasses.com/kinda. Back to it.
Back to it.
Back to it. Fran, what beef you want to chew on, boy?
Glad I'm back from the bathroom. Got to get Andy back in here as well. So
Andy sucks.
It was more questions about tedium stuff. So I had a major issue with the way you take missions from the menus, the way you go through your menus to decide what you're going to fabricate, what you want to recycle. And the main issue was it'd be like, hey, you want to take a mission? Okay, cool. And then the next screen you get is, what do you want to fabricate? And I'm like, well, let me look at my map. Can't look at the map.
Let me look at my inventory.
Let me look at my inventory. I can't look at my inventory. Okay, wait. I'll just accept it. I'm not going to fabricate anything. Yeah. Now I'm going to go look. Then I'm like, wait, I want to look at my map. I can't look at my map. Got to back out of the whole terminal. But anyway, I found this. Like,
this is a great
every
example. Yeah,
that's time. A... Every time. Thank back you. And forth and back and forth. It would take me like five different things when all of it should have been in one place.
Yep, 100%.
So, okay, this was an issue for you guys.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. Hey, we're trying to make you think about why you're showering, what the hell you've been through.
It's fine, but it is a real problem.
Every single time I was in the cargo menu, every single time through the entire 48 hours I played that game, I would hit circle, and then it would say, like, do you want to cancel everything? I'm like, no. Yep. Then I have to go back up to confirm. Yeah. Every time.
I felt stupid. I'm like, am I missing something? Every time.
No, it's cumbersome, yeah.
Little things, too, like, why isn't there a shortcut to your cargo? Mm-hmm. So you press options, then you D-pad left, then you click cargo, and then what happens is you want to optimize your cargo, so you hit triangle. So literally, like, four actions when what you should have been able to somehow do, I don't know, but, like, bloop, right into your cargo and optimize.
The funniest thing to me is that the touchpad button is only the like button.
Yeah.
What else?
Should have optimized.
Well, I'm Sam!
Which is not great because, like, hey, if you're trying to like a ladder that you're on and then step out of the window and suddenly you alert every mule in the area to your. Yeah.
I'm Sam.
Yeah. He says that.
Yeah. That's great.
And a good example where this becomes a problem is you might have to drop all your gear. It might get knocked off you. And when you pile it up real fast, want to get out of there, if it's optimized so bad, you actually can't.
You'll start losing.
You have to stop and get in and optimize. But, like, it doesn't even occur to you sometimes because you're just trying to run. Yeah. But in other words, you really needed like a quick optimize as one of the many things to just optimize your cargo.
Is anyone there? I'm right here.
I'm Sam too.
Nanobiologist writes in and says, were there any mechanics that you didn't expect to be good but ended up working really well? And what about vice versa? Were there any things that you just felt didn't stick the landing and hindered your gaming experience?
I liked the balancing stuff, which I don't think on paper sounds boring, and I wouldn't have liked it. And I know for Imran is boring. But for me, like, that's what I dug the most about it. I think earlier we were talking, right, that you think it gets better when it gets more Metal Gear-y.
Yeah.
Where I liked it better when it was more, I'm out there delivering things going back and forth. It is more about me versus the elements, me figuring out how to get there. What big deal getting my first trike. Like, again, the fact that it is just walking, it is literally a walking simulator, right, or delivery simulator across these giant areas, I really dug in terms of those moments and having it be walking up the steep mountain faces and have it be like, okay, cool, I've got it. And then it would like pan out a bit and start playing one of the soundtrack tracks from like, this is cool.
By the way, the music from like every combat scenario with like mules and whatever, like an 80s synth is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love what they're going for with that.
Yeah. When it was first introduced, the hiding in the grass is like, oh, cool, this is where it gets Metal Gear. And then, like, I've never used it ever again. I just feel like it was useless.
If you stack too high, they see it.
Yeah.
And they're always stacked too high.
Yeah.
Risk reward.
But you could play around that, right? You could put your cargo on, like, a little tray thing.
I'm talking early game. Before you even had the little tray.
No, totally.
By the way, I love the tray. That's one thing it's an item that it's a little floating.
It's a hoverboard.
it's a hover thing that you put cargo on top of. and and you can chain them together, and you can chain multiple together. But if you have the other one, that's where you could like slide down a mountain with it, and it follows you.
Like
I started using that a lot more.
Coming back now and being able just to go do whatever I want, I'm gonna chain a whole bunch of those. So, I'm gonna be like fucking Santa Claus out there around delivering
the
shit.
Norman Reedus Express.
So yeah, it's funny. We got off some of the things that are annoying, but I think it's worth stopping on. Have you guys tried to skateboard on it yet?
Yes.
And what happened?
I didn't know.
I went downhill, hit a rock, fell.
Yeah, same.
Did you have a bunch of cargo?
No, I was uncomfortable.
You were smart. I don't know why I was an idiot. I like I like throw it on the ground. I'm like, I'm playing this game on hard. I also always have togged to the bricks. You know, everything's like on my back. And anyway, so I hop on this thing. And of course, I was like, I knew I would probably crash. And man, I crashed so hard. I had to like cancel and go back in my saves.
Everything
like,
was destroying or
it just was, a total. But it was, that's where the game's really cool is that it has, again, these things that you can do that I haven't even touched it since then. Mm-hmm. You can find a clear spot on a mountain. I want to try it up in the snow and just, it's actually going to be faster, not use stamina, but it's a risk versus reward, right? If you crash, you're screwed.
See, back to you losing all the stuff. Like, that's something I loved about it. Where, again, I don't know if it was last night or the night before, but like deep into the game, I've played a ton of this. I know what I'm doing. And I had story packages, but a bunch of them. And it was, all right, I got to forge this river, like Oregon Trail. I
fucking hate the river so much.
God, everything you hate, I love about this game. Like,
so when you go into a river too far, you're like,
anyways, sorry. So yeah,
I spammed it
across, right? And it goes blue, yellow, red, or whatever.
Yeah,
but it wasn't red. It was just yellow. And I'm like, I got it. But I went in there and hadn't been paying attention to my stamina. Which is already down, and totally got out there, went down because I ran out of stamina, and it's just me floating on the river like, fuck, and it's all the story packages surrounded me, and I got up, and then I'm like running along the bank trying to get the,
It starts floating out of the river, you're like, no, I need it. Sometimes it's an important package, too.
Yeah.
So one time that happened to me, and like, you're supposed to like be able to paddle left or right to the whatever ground there is.
To stop yourself.
Yeah. Somebody put a ladder between the two areas.
You got caught on.
I got caught in the ladder, and there's just nothing you can do.
Oh, you couldn't get off?
Yeah, I couldn't pause it, like the because it doesn't do the actual menu, so I can just reload a new save.
I never ran into that.
Physically go into the menu, like PS4 menu, and like close it.
Hard.
I'm like, did no one test that part? Like, that seems like a thing that would come up at some point.
Did you have cargo on your back?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because you could drop your cargo. Maybe if your cargo got caught, that might have been one way around it. I'm not justifying. I haven't run into anything like that. That's game breaking.
But like, even just in general, like if you lose all your cargo in the river, getting it back is damn near impossible. Because you have to ford it into the river to get it, and you're just gonna fall.
Well, you can go and eventually hit shores. It'll hit rocks in the middle and stuff.
It's like, crazy real in that way. That's what I like about it.
That was my problem. Is the one where I got washed away there at the end, late game. I was running, and there was like a waterfall. I was going down. I'm like, fuck. So I just was. But later on, it was that it was like on a long stream.
Earlier on,
I just wandered along the stream and then would wait for the packages to get caught.
See, and that's the difference between the types of players. Is that. You're supposed to hate it, Imran. I did. I was like, son of a. I want every bone in my body. I want to just redo the save. Like, but I'm like, no. Like,
This is my journey.
You got to earn it.
Like, risk reward. I'm right there with
you. This is masochist side of it.
Well, every aspect of this game is the climbing a rainy mountain in Breath of the Wild. Of like, for me, I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty cool. It's a fun challenge. Like, to do this. This is everything in Death Stranding. Yeah. If you like that fun challenge like that.
It's impressive.
And you want it for an entire game? Yeah. This is that. At some point, it just fucking broke me.
A 60-hour game?
I will tell you the exact moment it broke me, because there was a point early on in the game where you're going to Port Knot City.
Yep.
And
you could say whatever words, and I'll just say okay, because I don't know. All these names sound the same to me.
All the knots.
Lake Knot, Port Knot,
this
I don't
is,
know.
Like, this is within the first 10 hours.
The knots on the rope.
Yes.
Yeah, man, the strands.
Middle knot.
You have to climb.
The rails stranded.
You have to climb a mountain, and like as I'm going out there, it's like, okay, BT stuff. This is a scripted BT sequence where you have to go through here. I'm like, fuck it. There's a mountain around the side. I'm just going to use that one.
Yeah.
There are mountains they just straight up won't let you go up.
Like, they're all red.
Yeah. Like, they're all red. You can try and put a ladder there. It's just not going to let you put up a ladder. So I tried to do that. I Skyrimmed my way up further than I should. Huh. And then at some point, it was just invisible wall slammed me down.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's where the game broke for me. Because I'm like, the world is now a lot smaller. Because there's just areas they... For the story they want me to go through. And I just...
You must have really been on the edge. Like, I assume those exist, and I've wanted to go explore that edge, but I'm like, I'm not going over there. Like,
it's too far. I'm too scared.
Yeah, it's just going to take... Well, it's going to take forever, but that's interesting. I figured they were there.
I assume from a Breath of the Wild kind of way that you can just do whatever, but that's not this kind of game.
Right. No, this you have to connect the network. Like, that's the point. You can't stray too far from the network. So I knew these walls are out there, but in other words... I agree that kind of like brings things down a little bit, but like you don't run into that very often unless you're trying to break the game, is what I would say.
I mean, like,
He was afraid of the BTs. He already said it.
I find the BT stuff tedious, and to go back to Tim's original question from Nanobiologist of what do you think worked well and what didn't work as well, the answer to both is BTs. Because like the first five times I did that, I was like, this is amazing and intense, and oh my god, the boss battle was so cool. Like, then you got that trophy pop, like, you killed a BT. Holy shit, no one's ever done that. Yeah. Then, like, the next 30 times, I'm like, okay.
I'm kill 500 BTs.
Yeah. I was like, I guess there's three in this fight. That's fine. Yeah. Like, and I just, at some point.
How often did you, like, get dragged down by the big monster or whatever?
At some point, like, if I couldn't avoid it, if I was on a bike, I tried to do it. Yeah. But if I'm walking it, I just, like, I let it happen. Because it's easier to kill him than it is to.
I guess I'm so worried about my cargo. Like,
yeah, that was my thing. Is I snuck past him the whole way. Yeah. And I didn't. I mean, I got captured, obviously, once or twice or whatever. But, like, yeah, for me, I liked the beginning puzzle aspect of it, but then these mini, how am I going to get around this thing? So, you know, waving out, there's the one. Eventually, you have a way to fight him. I won't talk about how. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Without guns or something, you have a better way, like a stealth kill. And so, like, making my way through that and then getting it and going and then finding the next one and then moving towards it and getting in there, holding my breath, plotting where am I going to breathe? When's my stamina going to get filled?
Could you imagine if in Metal Gear Solid, every time you entered a room with guards, there was an 8-second animation telling you this room had guards?
Yeah, I know too. I know too. I hear it, BB.
I've run into some really cool BT encounters where I am low on my ammo or whatever. I don't want to get too spoilery or whatever, but the game has continued to introduce kind of cooler ways to take them on that I feel is really cool and rewarding, where I think like, oh, this is what I'll be using for the rest of the game. And then a new thing is introduced, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Which one would I prefer? Which method do I, you know, prefer taking them down or whatever? But I ran into a cool moment last night where I'm always usually pretty geared up with the weapons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I ran into a moment where I was just low on ammo for whatever reason because I was taking down some mules. And then I was like, how am I? I'm going to have to like old school this the way I did early on when
the game first.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to just like sneak through and hopefully. And holy shit, I got to hold my breath. And oh, that guy was freed from the constraints. Or, like, I think it's really cool. It hasn't gotten stale for me yet, which is what I'm really happy about. It's always intense.
Yeah. I think the reality is like that's where it is. Very Metal Gear in a lot of ways. Like, there's a pretty big skill ceiling in how you can play those things. And I'm not saying you're not good at it. I had a ton. I still have a ton of problems with it because I get very impatient very fast. But the point is, there's a lot of different ways to do things. And that, again, where I'm like 45 hours in and I'm like, oh, for sure, when I throw this thing, they actually get scared off. So I actually can clear the path a little. Or, you know, I use this thing, and then I'm learning these, like you said, new ways, and I'm starting to move much faster and feel powerful. Like, I'll get noticed, for example, right? And before, I'm like, run away. And, like, that was the easiest thing. Just run away, use your stamina. But then I realized I could do something else, and I'm like, let's go.
I wish.
And I'm like, you move back from me.
Yeah, exactly.
And you start to learn these
things. But bitch, you know?
I honestly wish that, like, they had committed to the fact that BTs are unbeatable. They're just the thing that you need to.
Sure.
You cannot. Yeah, you have to just like figure a way around.
So something I'm getting from this is that at some point it gets a bit more Metal Gear. Does this game flirt with being Metal Gear too much without committing to it? Or does it feel unique enough and we're only making comparisons because it's Kojima?
I haven't played enough. It feels like it's there if you want it, like mule camps.
Yeah.
It's like you can do that a lot. And I honestly have never cleared an entire mule camp. I'm like, I'm not doing this right now.
I punch them all.
Because I've had so many other packages to deliver.
Pull them.
I
tried to take one down, the first one.
You can run over them in a car and it just knocks them unconscious. It's hilarious.
Or the mules have this electric stick that I started, I was like, oh, I'll run over every of these mule guys with this big ass truck and this dumb boom, hitting four of them, and then suddenly I see a spear go shoom, and the car electrocutes, and I have to jump out of the car because it's being like electrocuted.
To be clear, Andy, what I mean is I bolo them and then I run over them with the car.
So you're like a villain in like the old western. You like put the damsel in distress on the track.
It just knocks him out. So like, what's the problem?
So we should try to answer the question, but then I have a question about difficulty because this since I played on hard, but. Right, you looked like you were going to say something about the Metal Gear thing. Like, is it Metal Gear? Is it a flirt with it? Is it just there if you want it?
I don't know if it... Even, going down into the camps and taking on the mules.
Even BT sneaking feels...
Can we talk about the consequence of killing someone?
I didn't kill anybody because I want to do that.
They tell you what it is. So I never actually did it.
Yeah, no, me neither, right? Yeah.
But it's a very cool thing. Like, I'm sure it's out there on the internet, but... It's a very cool thing. It's like, oh, that's actually great. That they concepted the game out where if you kill someone, it fucking sucks for you.
Yeah,
the BTs want corpses, so you don't want to run into that situation.
Yeah, and like it's a world where a corpse will explode.
The way I played it, I wouldn't say it flirts with being Metal Gear. It has pangs of Metal Gear. Like, you know, when I was talking to another reviewer about it, he was very much, I was like, to me, I think the reason I love it and I'm in this thing is that it's No Man's Sky meets Metal Gear, right? Where it's like I'm wandering around this world, exploring it, finding it, completing my missions, and then there's little. And he's like, I don't see the Metal Gear, and I'm like, the loadout screen is, you know, even as cumbersome as it is, so Metal Gear Solid 5, where it was like, what's your loadout? Do you want Diamond Dog? Do you want this? Do you want, and like, boom, let's go on the mission.
Even some of the sounds.
It was gearing you up. Yeah, exactly. What's Codec too, right? It was gearing you up to go on your mission, and I feel here you are gearing up to go on your missions, but you're not gearing up to go infiltrate the base, take all of these guys and save the hostage, right? I'm going there to deliver my package or get through the BTs or get into the mule camp and get out without the thing. But even at the end, when I think it goes too far into being Metal Gear, where at the end with some of the boss battles, when you're running around with machine guns or rocket launchers or whatever, that feels a lot like Metal Gear, which feels not like what Death Stranding is and what I was enjoying about it. Not to say that I hated this by any means, but...
It feels like uncommitted to what he wanted Death Stranding to be. And like, maybe that's what he wanted in the first place, is he wanted to make that change. But at some point, it does straight up feel like I want to make these big action set pieces because that will...
But I think you could have had him if it was just more about hiding, right? Like, or running. Because, no spoilers. I don't think that happens in the first three chapters or anything.
No, after the third chapter.
Okay, but you can talk about anything you want.
The way you're running there's certain boss battles that are just running around in a really cool way, and the environment's changing as you go, and it's like, I would have rather that been the whole way.
Yeah.
In terms of how I'm going to fight these giant things, rather than me being...
Well, I mean, what were they called? The villains from Metal Gear Solid 5?
The
skull.
The skulls, yeah. So basically the boss fights in this game are the skull fights from MGS5.
They're scary.
So
I will say that I...
overall, I feel like it's unique. It doesn't flirt with being Metal Gear, it has pangs of being Metal Gear.
I think it would have been a lot more had there been missions where they were like, you have to go to this mule camp and you cannot be seen. That's the stipulation here. Mm-hmm. You cannot be seen. Because when I go to a mule camp, I just take everybody out. There's no incentive for me to be stealthy about any of it, because I am now at the point where I have the gear to take these people out in a pretty easy way. Like, I'm not finding any difficulty at all.
I felt like
super early.
The first time you infiltrate is the only time where I was like, oh man, how am I going to do this? And then once you get the bola gun, it's like, oh.
Shoot everybody. There's a mechanic I wanted to bring up that I'm not sure if it's doing any work behind the scenes or if it's all just faked. But like, whenever you go, there's a kind of a story part that your blood is what fucks up the BTs when you're this rare human being that has special blood that, you know, really, really just grinds these BTs' gears. You know what I mean?
They hate it.
They hate this dang blood.
It's like in Ghostbusters with a piano.
Exactly. Never seen the movie. It's Dr. But you, there's a part of it where one of the NPCs that you meet who's at one of these little bases is like, Sam, the porters that we're hiring to go bring stuff back and keep building stuff out, you know, they're using your blood to take down these BTs. We finally had a porter kill a BT. It's never been done before. Like, this is crazy. But, you know, it's in such short supply. So make sure that you're constantly going to these bases to rest to donate your blood. Uh-huh. Because if you stop doing that, we'll run out of blood.
Yeah, you're, like,
but
supplying.
There's a part of me that's like, is that even happening? Or is that just something that they're telling you? Like, is that an actual thing?
It's not a mechanic.
Is there a system that's, like, actually tracking how much blood you're resting?
You a blood currency.
If anything, you're making it for yourself. That's it.
Because if I never rested ever? Like, would they be like, bro, we're out of blood.
Help! Yeah. Well, there's no way not to rest. So eventually, it forces you to rest.
Does it?
Yeah, your stamina bar gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Oh, no, but you could take a nap. You can eat stuff. But I mean, if I never went to a base and went downstairs into my little apartment.
You have to
apartment.
Eventually, I'm pretty sure. Meaning, you know, it gets crosshatched on the stamina bar. It turns like a white crosshatch.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
pushed farther in front until you have almost nothing left to give until you finally rest. Pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I have never sat. You can sit down in the game and sleep, by the way.
Done
that. And how real it is. I don't know what happens if you do Mario that for 64. 5 hours, so I can't speak to gotcha. Maybe you don't.
It does measure the time you do it, though. Because
you nap for 2 minutes.
Yeah, when you nap, it makes up everything aside from what's already been hashed
exactly.
out.
Yeah. You can't get that cross-hatched piece out. You can't get that stamina back. That's like you have to go
you have
back
to rest
and,
rest to go, yeah.
and take a naked shower with never mind.
I want
to
combine two questions here. Lee Palero writes in, do you believe Death Stranding is truly the start of a franchise, or does it seem like a one-off that will not be revisited? And Krajuki says, will Death Stranding stand the test of time, or will it just be a blip in video game history as a hype game that could never live up to the expectations?
I think that it will not live up to expectations because it's not I think it's super special that Kojima came out here and made a game that is unlike anything I've ever played.
Yeah. Surprised.
I think it's like really cool that he came out here and made a video game just all by himself. Just he's the only guy. No. That he had this vision to make a game that wasn't a rehash of Super Soldier or just any sort of espionage guy taking down a corporation with guns and gadgets. Like I think it's cool that he made a game that is not.
It's kind of the opposite.
It's very, very much the opposite. And I think it's really cool. I don't think this will be just a blip in video game history. I think like this game will be talked about because it's going to be so polarizing.
I think that's the thing is, what are the expectations? I don't. People.
It's Kojima. I think people are 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I think they said 10 out of 10 weird.
Yeah.
I feel like it was always 10 out of 10. This game's going to be batshit crazy. What the fuck's happening? I don't understand.
Do you even think it was going to be story weird?
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
I think it's like maybe it's just I've played weirder games, but. It's.
I think
all those anime dating simulators.
I mean, like a Yoko Taro game, for example.
But
like,
here's my thing:
it's different from Nier Automata.
But I think it's a batshit crazy AAA game. That's the thing. Like it's that's more rare. Sure, there's a bunch of weird visual novels on Vita we could bring up that are weird.
But I mean, there are like I just mentioned before, Nier and Nier Automata are also weird games.
Sure.
Yeah, but
I think the jargon of this is what's. Makes people think it's weirder than it actually is.
But I think this will like decimate what Nier Automata did, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I mean, this is a weird mainstream game.
I also think there's that expectation you were getting at is this is a PlayStation AAA exclusive. It's a God of War. It's a Days Gone. They've set a standard of like a certain style and like God of War especially.
Yeah.
And I think plus just Metal Gear being what it was, you have that type of expectation. That's why it's so weird. Because of the entire
It's
going
to stand the test of time as a weird game.
Yeah, no, like, the most impressive thing about this game for me is that, holy shit, Kojima had this vision, and he put this vision through, despite all, issues somebody, because even he said, like, my team was not on board for the longest time.
Can't imagine
and they
how.
They came on board.
This.
Yeah.
How do you pitch this game?
And it, like,
so it's kind of like FedEx in the future, but it's like really messed up.
America's
and it's like
falling.
This moonscape. And, so you just deliver packages, and then they get heavier.
He's
going like,
to have a jar with a baby in it. And the baby's going to help him see BTs.
Right, but he's got the baby, and it helps deliver the packages.
There's room for it.
I think so, but I think only in the case that he leans more towards a mainstream play style. Like, I think I could see something being – I could see more games in the Death Stranding world in this sort of, like, vision that he's had or whatever. But I don't see it being the same sort of game mechanics. I would expect Sony to be like, this sold really well because you are you,
yeah.
right? And this is a Sony
What's
first
your next
party
idea?
Now.
What do you want to do
but
next?
But what if we made it more like the other games that everybody really loved? What if it was more of a spy espionage sort of game, you know?
My hope is that it isn't. My hope is that this is it and it stands alone.
A one-off, yeah.
Because I think it, granted, there's plenty of room for a sequel. Every game does. Every universe you build has. But I think it ends with such a button on it that it's like, I'm okay leaving these characters in this world and seeing where we are from there.
I mean, he's tried to end Metal Gear Solid several times.
Yeah,
and getting fired is what did it.
Yeah.
I would agree with that if he can do something really interesting again that has like these loops, and then of course I'm out for something new. However, to me, and I know I'm not done yet, that's where I'm a little hesitant to say, it feels like some of it is underdeveloped, and I would love to see that right, fix all the menus, and I joked about getting it patched. Like, I'm serious. Like, mm-hmm. fix things in the game, but
you
also
you're never going to get the ability imagine, to just
skip you want the Western version.
Can I rest, skip shower and everything else? Yeah.
But right, imagine a world.
Like, you want a button just to end the game?
If you want to do it, dude, just watch the YouTube videos like I'm going to do.
Imagine a world twice the size, weather that's more complex, structures that are way more on PS5. So to me, I would love to see a sequel without even having finished it, putting the story aside.
I'd fucking love the Death Stranding movie. To be honest, or the Death Stranding TV show or whatever. Because,
nah.
Like, what this is like, I understand where people are going to love this. And I expect, honestly, that I'm on the lower end of, like, the opinion on it.
I can't wait.
I think that overall people are going to be very, because the game ends so strongly.
Yeah.
That I think that's a lot of people are going to, like, feel like wholly see this as a okay, I actually really like this experience.
But does it end, or is there, like, 7 epilogues and stuff?
It took. I think you messaged me, what, like 1:30 a.m. last night?
Hey, you up?
Yeah. You're like,
hey, I just did this. How much longer do you have? You're like, I think you have like 2 hours. Yeah. And it was more. I was like, all right.
Last question that I want to ask before we wrap this up. Ignacio Ross says, how's it hanging, guys? Prior to its release and going all the way back to its announcement, no one has been completely sure what Death Stranding is about. So far, it's all seemed like it's just random weird stuff. Kojima finally going full Kojima. Do you think, you know, with full certainty what the story is? And how the story more or less convoluted than a typical Metal Gear game.
I think this is, so far what I've experienced, again, I'm so very early on story-wise, I think this is pretty cut and dry. Like, this is not anywhere as near as convoluted as Metal Gear has ever been for me. Like, I think it's because they're explaining everything along the way.
It gets complicated, but it gets complicated mostly because they use jargon that they don't explain for a while, and they use reference events that they don't show for a very long time. Mm-hmm. If you had a problem with the way Kojima overexplained everything in Metal Gear Solid 4, like Big Boss coming to the graveyard and just telling you the entire story,
yeah.
This is that. Like, towards the end of the game, literally a character will walk around you and exposit a thing that they said, like, theoretically, the scene before this, they just didn't show it to you. So they just say it a scene later for, I want to say, 15 minutes of them talking.
Yeah. Yes, that happens.
Yeah.
What was the question exactly?
Do you know with full certainty what the story is?
Yeah. I mean, I know the big points. I mean, there was things I was talking to Imran about in the other room where I was like, what about this? And what about, you know, but that's what I like out of a game like this, right? Where mm-hmm. I do want to leave and be like, what was your interpretation of this? I thought, am I thinking right here? Blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah. It's always a little unfair to compare it to Metal Gear because there's how many entries in Metal Gear, right? To the where this is like just Metal Gear Solid. I always thought was, you know, that was my first Metal Gear. I had no idea about, you know, the other games. And so coming into Metal Gear Solid, I was like, I get this. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of where you're at here of like, sure, all this Death Stranding business is happening. We got BTs wandering the earth. Yeah, but like they explain it and you can read the emails and you can read the documents and see the interviews and stuff and
yeah.
Get more on that.
This game had a fucking glossary though.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
Because they reference things and like obviously that's part of the mystery is to this world they know all these terms and you as a player do not. But it's so confusing sometimes of like, well, you have Dooms. It's like, okay, so what's Dooms? So moving on.
The funniest thing was like as I'm, because the exact same thing happened to me. I was like, huh, let me Google. The game isn't out yet, Andy. Yeah. This game is out yet. Should we do like a what do we think this is going to be on Metacritic?
Because it's literally at the same time this is out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What do you mean?
All the reviews are dropping when this drops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, he's saying predict.
What do we predict? Oh,
okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, meaning we won't. You definitely don't know because the embargo's not.
And whoever gets closest wins a pizza party.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
from Andrea Renee.
Yeah, Renee. I'm gonna guess this is a 72.
Are we doing prices right? Closest without going over? Why do you hate that?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
You can't go over.
Who cares?
No,
we went over. It was a 71. He picked 72. Give it to him. You know what I mean?
That's not how the game works.
I think it's
anyway. Whoever's closest. Whoever's
so you said 71? Like
72.
Or 72.
Did I say 71?
I don't know. I'm checking.
What did I say?
You said 72. 72.
72. 72. Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be a lot of 3 out of 10s and a lot of 10 out of 10.
I'm going to say 89, which is what Peace Walker hit.
Yeah. Well, that was underrated. You know, kidding me right there? I screwed it up.
Yeah, we're talking about like next week. Is what we're talking about.
Yeah, sure. Next game's cast. We all sit back down.
Yeah,
we'll
go a week from now.
I'm going 87.
A year from now.
You're going 87?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 82.
Damn, I should have gone.
I think
can I go 82?
No.
Oh, fuck.
I think there's going to be a lot of 10 out of 10s for this game.
Yeah.
Even though it's not my thing, I think a lot of people are really going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Andy, what'd you say?
72.
72.
Fran.
Oh.
That's how you were.
82.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I just picked a lot of 4 out of 10s. Yeah.
What I think is going to be fascinating about this, and this is awesome because this is how it should be, especially with art of like how does everybody interpret it.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see. I think what's going to happen is critics are going to score it really high. There are going to be a lot of 10 out of 10s. There's going to be a lot of 9s. There's going to be obviously other things. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be IGN, GameSpot, whoever the hell, gives it 9, 10, yay. And then podcasts are full of people being like, I hated this. 100%. I didn't get it.
And that's why I'm as high as I am on this. I think
and
it's going to review
well. And that's great because it is, you know, I do think there's a big difference
in,
that we talk about all the time on this show, right? Of like, I'm reviewing the game. I'm weighing the merits and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And like, what did they try to do? Versus I'm playing the game and I'm going to talk about it on a show. Yeah. I didn't like it. So after 8 hours, I stopped playing. You know what I mean? Like, that's a different take than I'm at IGN and I want to play everything and see everything and do everything.
I will say I'm super fucking glad this game exists. Or like, this game exists even if I didn't like it.
Dude, and see, that's what I'm talking about with like my comparisons to Red Dead last year. Is I was that way with Red Dead. Of like, not my jam. So it's super awesome, beautiful that I'm taken aback by how much I love this game. You know what I mean? And this is not to take away from the flaws of it, right? Like, I think there are problems with it. I think there's pacing issues. I think there's a whole bunch of different stuff. But, like, leading up to it, it was that weird thing, like, what is this game? It's going to be a weird Kojima game. I hope I stick with it or I'll be able to get into it. You know what I mean? Because what, when you think about it, like, is it Metal Gear that I liked and being Snake, or was it, you know, the story and blah, blah, blah? To get into this one and have this weird baby in a bottle and be like, that seems weird and that seems done, and get to the end and, like, fucking care about that damn baby in the bottle, right? Yes. You know, BB, and the performances and the tidbits they give you and the breadcrumbs they give you, and then to have it pay off, which is, I think, sometimes what Metal Gear would miss, where you'd get to the end of Metal Gear and it wouldn't be necessarily, oh man, this all came together and worked. Because even with this one, getting to the end.
This whole fuck.
this game. Getting to the end of Death Stranding last night, it was like, there were totally the pieces that fell into place. I'm like, oh yeah, I predicted that like 20 hours ago.
Yeah.
Or even like, I think when I turned it on and Jen sat down next to me, she's like, I bet this happens. And then,
but don't then you want to explain to you over 30 minutes?
But it was like, true. But then it was the things I didn't see coming. The moments that they had done something like moments before, and I was like, that's a weird thing, but okay. And then it pays off in the other. I was like, all right, like, I just really, really fucking dig the game. And I think a lot of people are, but I think a lot of people are going to hate it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tim stole my guess, so I'm going to go for 85.
All right. We're just gonna, whoops.
So what are the final guesses? What are the final guesses?
The final guess is Andy, 72. Greg, 82. Fran, 85. Tim, 87. Imran, 89.
Closest ball going over. All right.
The guy,
I think Andy has a pretty good chance, though, because like, you have such a wide gap.
Yeah.
That if like it falls anywhere in there, the rest of us chose pretty sequential
so close,
numbers.
Yeah. Kevin, what about you?
Put Kevin in on this.
108.
He's like, I like that Imran, the guy who's like most negative.
Yeah.
Guessed the highest.
70.
78.
78
for
ooh,
Kevin.
I feel like I'm the most negative because I straight up was like, I'm done.
You want
to
change?
But
to
it's
79?
That thing where it's yes, yeah. But it's like I don't. It's not.
Doesn't matter what the matter is, whatever. Obviously.
It's not that you're like negative about it, it's just not your thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think that I'm pretty down on it as a whole, where it's like I appreciate
because
that
you're a huge Kojima fan, like a Metal Gear fan.
Totally. It's like I appreciate that it's art, I do completely understand that a AAA game being able to just be pure art is great. I just think that that should mean more, though, than just that being the thing. Earlier, like, we got off of it, so I didn't go back on to talk about the anime aspect of it. It's like, oh, it's super anime. That anime can be good or bad. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's the problem, is like there are so many good anime. This actually doesn't feel like a good anime.
Let me amend that a little bit. Yeah. It's not necessarily super anime. It's super Snatcher and Police Knots. So it is basically like Kojima, what if I made a AAA 3D one of those?
Yeah. And I'm sure people are going to like it, but I don't know. I can already tell I don't. I'm excited to like get more spoiled on the story to kind of see where it goes, to see if I end up being wrong about my feelings of it all. But I love Metal Gear's convoluted story. Like, I feel like that's where it kind of shines.
Some
well,
of
this
charm.
Is convoluted. There's still a lot to
no, but if it's
here.
Like, but at the end of the day, it's like people throw convoluted at Metal Gear as if it's a bad thing. I feel like the Metal Gear story, at least for most of the games, like, makes sense and has characters and things that I care about. I just don't see that happening.
For me like, the story's big problem was it would reference a thing and then not tell you what that thing is. So a character would be like, oh, I did that day, and then it's like, okay, well, what's the significance of that? And you just don't know for another couple of hours.
And on top of that, like, even from what I've played, it's just it's silly to me, and it's super Kojima, and it's fun to like kind of laugh at, but oh, the baby's a, it's BB.
Yeah.
And like, oh, what is Strand? Oh, well, Strand can mean this or this or this. It's like, oh, but then your name is Sam Porter Bridges. Well,
he fucking loves homonyms.
Yeah.
Like, the entire story is built on the idea of homonyms, of like Kojima being fascinated that words sound the same.
Mm-hmm. Or just using the word, like, it's not hard, city man.
That's
well,
also
like,
confusing
like,
me, because how did that translate to other languages? Does he only cater to like the American, like obviously it's
I'm
in
sure
America.
They're whatever, all American actors too. Yeah.
Well, but, I'm sure those words are the same in Japan.
Yeah. Like, no, but Cupid, I think, yeah, but like, no, but I guess.
It's the same. Is, yeah.
But does it mean the same to that culture? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. It's like hors d'oeuvres. Like, you know what it is. I mean, most of the words like
does bridge baby BB also, you know, I don't know.
That
it's
one's
kind of
tough.
Hard for me to even.
You're a bridge and her name is Bridge. Yes. Yeah. And you're Bridget. Yeah. And that sounds like Bridge. Like that is the
it's
entire
fucking
story.
Weird. And it's just like that to me is fragile, the art and anime fragile. Stuff where I'm like,
oh God. That line.
I still want the art to be
fragile. Not that fragile. Not just fragile.
Bad shit from someone's mind.
Yeah. Anyway. But, those are Metacritic guesses. Remember, not our scores. That's a
what score would you give it?
I don't know. I need to finish this game.
I'm curious.
Greg. I hadn't thought about it.
Should we save it till next week?
I have thought about
Let's
it.
Let's save it till next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's save the numbered scores till next week.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I would like to, at some point, do a spoiler cast with people.
Yeah, 100%.
There's a line in this game I fucking really want to talk about.
There's a scene in this one that was so batshit crazy weird that I will let it end and then I went to right to the share button to save the hard drive because like I could tell people about this scene and they wouldn't fucking believe it. You need to see this shit.
Maybe once that Let's game comes Troy out on. We can do that
after he finishes it finally hopefully.
This has been the kind of Games Cast. Thank you very much for staying tuned to our Death Stranding review. We will return next week, same place, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Until then, I love you. Oh, yeah, and also thank you to PlayStation for providing Death Stranding for review.
Did you say FDA shout-out?
FCC.
It's actually the FTC.
The right? Dental Association.
You would think it's FCC, but it's
FDA.
Actually the Food and Drug Administration, but you tell you, PlayStation fans.
I said FDA in the beginning?
No. You said the disclosure in the beginning was okay.
Oh, yeah.
So
you need to do it on both.
We're good.
Is that what it said?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You said it. Put it in the disclosure of the script.